Welcome to the Game Before the Money podcast, an oral history of pro and college football. This episode, Candlestick Park and the Catch, the 1981 NFC Championship game. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Game Before the Money podcast, an oral history of pro and college football. You can learn more about the project at thegamebeforethemoney.com. My name is Jackson Michael. This season's NFL playoffs marks the 40th anniversary of the Catch Game, the 1981 NFC Championship game that featured the Dallas Cowboys at the San Francisco 49ers at Candlestick Park in the Bay Area. The game took place on January 10th, 1982. Joe Montana threw a late touchdown pass to a leaping Dwight Clark, one of the most memorable plays in NFL history. A slogan of this oral history project has always been, football history is American history. And this backstory to the 1981 NFC Championship game really holds true to that statement. The stories in this episode illustrate just how important that game was to the city of San Francisco, so much so that it was all hands on deck, as you're about to hear. Sports is one of those great things in our country that can bring all types of people together, regardless of differences, to work together and to celebrate together. A lot of work went into getting that field in shape for the historic 1981 NFC Championship game. And the story involves someone you wouldn't expect, someone who is in the news quite a bit, but certainly not somebody you would expect to be associated with NFL history. That being Senator Dianne Feinstein, who was then the mayor of San Francisco. After groundskeeper George Toma told me that Senator Feinstein assisted him, I contacted her staff, and the senator was generous enough to provide quotes via email via one of her staff members. Of course, also sharing his memories of getting Candlestick Park's field ready for that game is George Toma. You might remember episode 54 of the Game Before the Money podcast when we got to meet him. The man who has been the head groundskeeper for every single Super Bowl, from Super Bowl I to Super Bowl 55. As we dig into the story, you're going to hear just how much community involvement there was in making sure that Candlestick Park's playing surface, a field that had its share of critics, was ready for the big game. You will learn some Candlestick Park history as well, and even hear how the old Kezar Stadium had a role in the 1981 NFC Championship. George Toma was called in to work on Candlestick Park's playing field for the 1981 playoffs. By the time Joe Montana threw that famous pass to Dwight Clark, Toma was already getting ready to leave for the Super Bowl. He saw that famous play on television and shares the story with us now.
I didn't see the rest of that game because I was at the hotel. I took a shower because I had to be on my way to Pontiac, Michigan for the Super Bowl. I turned on the TV and there was Montana throwing that pass to Dwight Clark, and the announcer saying, "What an artistic pass from Joe Montana to Dwight Clark on an artistic field by George Toma." And next day they asked me about that. I says, "I don't deserve any of that." I says, "If it wasn't for that lady coming down and checking on us every day and doing everything to help us for what we could do, and that wonderful lady at that time, she was the mayor of San Francisco, Mayor Dianne Feinstein. And today she is the senator, but she was down there in mud up to her boots and everything."
George is still grateful for then Mayor Feinstein's help and still obviously holds the senator in high regard, and he is still thankful for all the community involvement that the city of San Francisco put forth to get that field in the best possible condition that it could be in. As noted previously, the Candlestick surface was a topic of conversation going into the 1981 NFL playoffs. If you watched NFL football in the 1970s and 1980s, you might remember that Major League Baseball infields often became very muddy for NFL games played in the rain at those same stadiums. The 49ers shared Candlestick Park with Major League Baseball's San Francisco Giants. A Washington Post article published on the Friday before the NFC Championship game bore the headline, quote, "Candlestick Park, more than ever, its name is mud." The article written by Gary Pomerantz noted that players called the field the Quag, Quag being short for quagmire. Candlestick indeed had a drainage problem. An urban legend claimed that the reason was because Candlestick's field was below sea level. That theory was so popular that even John Madden, who grew up in the Bay Area, believed it was true. Senator Feinstein said that while the stadium had drainage issues, that wasn't the reason. She added some background to Candlestick's playing field as well. Senator Feinstein stated, quote, "While Candlestick was not below sea level, as John Madden would quip, the Recreation and Parks Department did have constant problems in the rainy season with field drainage. The field was originally turf when the 49ers moved into Candlestick, but the Giants asked that a grass field be reinstalled. That was fine for baseball, but not late season football in rainy years," unquote. According to ProFootballReference.com, the 49ers played on artificial turf at Candlestick Park from the year they moved in, 1971, through the 1978 NFL season. The New York Times reported that the San Francisco Board of Supervisors approved the reinstallation of a grass field during August of 1978. With the understanding that the grass would be there in time for the 1979 baseball season. So that grass field was a relatively new feature, and it also coincided with the beginning of another era in Candlestick history. Bill Walsh took over the head coaching position in San Francisco in 1979. The team only won two of their 16 regular season games that year. The next year, they only won six games. Then the 49ers surprised a lot of people by going 13-3 in 1981. In the process, they won the NFC West and clinched home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. San Francisco first hosted the New York Giants in the divisional playoff. George Toma spoke about getting the field ready for that game.
"I had to go out to Candlestick, and that was a mud hole. The league sent me out there to get the field ready, and when I first went out there, I couldn't do much because I only got out there and had 4 days, so I just aerified the field. They didn't have air fryers like I had today, but they had the spoon type, and I blocked them up with wood and just punched holes in the ground and filled it up with calcinine clay to help get rid of the mud a little bit."
The 49ers defeated the Giants 38-24 in the 1981 NFC Divisional Playoff. That set up the NFC Championship game matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys, often called America's team in those days, were playing in their fourth NFC Championship game in 5 years. Head coach Tom Landry built winning teams since the mid-1960s and had won two Super Bowls. The Cowboys and their fan base expected to be there every season. Conversely, the 49ers hadn't had a winning season in 8 years. Their fans endured two straight seasons of two wins and 14 losses in 1978 and 1979. The city of San Francisco was incredibly excited to host the 1981 NFC Championship game. The fact that they'd be playing the Dallas Cowboys ramped it up to a whole other level. Dallas broke the hearts of 49er fans by defeating them in both the 1970 and 1971 NFC Championship games. The Cowboys knocked the 49ers out of the NFC playoffs again in 1972, and in that game, the Cowboys had trailed by 15 points going into the fourth quarter before Roger Staubach rallied Dallas to victory. Candlestick Parks Field needed to be ready for the upcoming NFC Championship showdown. Senator Feinstein recalled, quote, "By the end of the 1981 regular season, the field was a mess. I told the Parks Department the grounds crew had to get it right for this biggest of playoff games," unquote. Getting it right required a collective effort that included many people, including the now senator. George Toma thought it necessary to re-sod the field, but he hit a snag in finding the proper size. He says that then-Mayor Feinstein and the city's Recreation and Parks Department worked hard to find a solution. Turns out, that solution already had a lot of 49er history associated with it.
I says, we're going to go and look for some sod and then sod down the center. So I went to a sod company and asked them, could they sell me some sod, but I want the sod cut 18 inches wide by 36 inches. In those days, it was 18 inches by 72. And I said, with about an inch and a half to a soil, he says, we can't do it. So meeting after meeting with the Parks and Recreation Department and Mayor Feinstein, she come to that meeting and listen to what we do. It rained every day. She'd be down on that field with her raincoat, her rain hat, and boots, trying to help us and seeing everything that we can help. Finally, we decided to take the sod from Kezar Stadium, and that sod at Kezar Stadium is a weed in California called cocuyo grass, and it's on Pebble Beach. They have it. Mexico has a lot of cocuyo grass on their soccer field, so they did a tremendous job. They cut it 18 inches by 42 inches. And we came in there and sodded that field, and it came out great.
Kezar Stadium was the home of the San Francisco 49ers for many years before Candlestick Park. You can hear 49ers Hall of Fame linebacker Dave Wilcox share memories of playing at Kezar Stadium in episode number 56 of the Game Before the Money podcast. The 49ers started playing at Kezar Stadium way back when they played in the All-American Football Conference in 1946, and they stayed there through the 1970 season. The final NFL game played at Kezar Stadium was the 1970 NFC Championship between the Cowboys and 49ers, a game that the Cowboys won 17-10 before moving on to Super Bowl V. Candlestick Parks Field for the 1981 NFC Championship was enhanced with sod from that very same field in which the Cowboys and 49ers played against each other for the 1970 NFC Championship game. If you are able to find highlights of the 1981 NFC Championship game, you can see grass strips on the field that are a slightly different color of green than the rest of the field. In fact, when you watch the actual catch play itself, Montana actually threw the ball on a strip of that different colored grass. It's easier to tell that from different angles of the replay. Now, if you find highlights of the divisional playoff game against the Giants, you'll see that the grass had a uniform green color on that day. Finding sod to re-sod the field wasn't the only issue that the city faced during the week leading up to the 1981 NFC Championship game. The rains of San Francisco turned heavy that week.
They beat the New York Giants, so now we're going to have to play the Cowboys. And it's going to rain all week. In fact, they closed the Golden Gate Bridge down. The rain was bad, the winds, there was a lot of floods. And then that's the week we restarted the field.
The aforementioned Washington Post article noted that that was only the third time in history that the Golden Gate Bridge had been closed. That story also noted that over 6 inches of rain fell upon the city over a 24-hour span. By game time on Sunday, however, sunshine spread across Candlestick Park and the field was ready for history. The 1981 NFC Championship was an exhilarating back-and-forth game. The Cowboys led at halftime. The 49ers took the lead in the third quarter and held it for much of the fourth quarter until the Cowboys took a 6-point lead and held that until the final minute of the game. Dwight Clark then made what's known as the catch, a leaping grab near the back of the end zone of a pass that Joe Montana threw under heavy pressure from the Dallas defense. The 49ers won that game by a single point, 28-27. San Francisco topped the Cincinnati Bengals in Super Bowl 16 2 weeks later, and those were the roots of the San Francisco dynasty of the 1980s. We all know the names and the iconic play, Joe Montana, Bill Walsh, and the catch by Dwight Clark. The 49ers, of course, had many other legendary players that were part of that 1981 team that started it all. Players like Ronnie Lott, Randy Cross, and Keena Turner. Behind the scenes, however, there were a lot of people working to set that stage. Those people, like groundskeeper George Toma, toiled far away from the spotlight, but played an important role in that 1981 NFC Championship game.
Like I say, Mayor Dianne Feinstein and Barney Barron, the head of the San Francisco Park and Recreation Department, thinking and getting together to take the old sod out, and we did that and put it in, and everything went great, so... Don't give me the credit. Give the credit to the people that made it happen.
You heard George Toma mention Bernard Barney Barron. He was a revered member of the San Francisco Recreation and Parks Department for a long time and served as superintendent for over 30 years. Senator Feinstein noted others who played a key part in getting the field ready for that game. She said, quote, "Not only did the department throw all the staff they could at the problem, Supervisor Quentin Kopp, an avid fan, rounded up volunteers to walk on the field during the game to stomp down any divots." Unquote. Anonymous volunteers, Supervisor Quentin Kopp, Barney Barron. These are not names that you'd associate with NFL history, but they all played a part in that 1981 NFC Championship game. Quentin Kopp was a longtime member of San Francisco's Board of Supervisors, which serves a similar role as a city council does in other cities. Now, the game before the money, of course, doesn't delve into politics, but I do think this story illustrates just how important that game was to the city of San Francisco and the great team effort the city placed into hosting the 1981 NFC Championship. It is often said that football is the ultimate team sport, and this backstory to the 1981 NFC Championship game also shows just how much teamwork goes into everything surrounding the game. It wasn't just two great NFL teams that were part of that game that made history. You had the grounds crew working as a team, led by George Toma. You had a future United States Senator in Mayor Dianne Feinstein. You had the superintendent of the city's Recreation and Parks Department, a Board of Supervisors member and his volunteer crew, all of the teams in concessions, ticket sales, ticket takers, the ushers. Hey, I worked as an usher for Big Ten games as a kid, so I know there's teamwork involved there. Plus, of course, the fantastic broadcasting team that CBS put together with the great Vin Scully paired up with Hank Stram. And just a side note, If you see the broadcast video of the catch, you'll actually hear Hank Stram predict that the upcoming play might be on the right side of the field just before Joe Montana took the snap and rolled out to his right. San Francisco's win in the 1981 NFC Championship meant a lot to 49er fans who suffered through heartbreaking playoff losses at the hands of the Cowboys in the early 1970s. San Francisco's playoff run and victory in Super Bowl XVI marked the beginning of the 49ers dynasty. And that was only 2 years after the team had back-to-back 2-14 seasons in 1978 and 1979. That turnaround alone is a great story right there. Candlestick Park itself continued to improve in the years that followed. Senator Feinstein said, quote, "When we entered into a new lease agreement in 1985 with the 49ers, which included renovating the stadium, we finally solved the drainage problem." Thank you for listening to this episode of the Game Before the Money podcast. Special thanks to Senator Feinstein and her staff, as well as George Toma. You can hear more stories from George Toma in episode 54 of the Game Before the Money podcast. 49er fans, you can hear more 49ers history from Hall of Fame linebacker Dave Wilcox in episode 56 of the Game Before the Money podcast, and stories from the King, Hugh McElhenney, in episode 45. If you are into government history, you can hear the history of U.S. presidents and football in episode 34 of the Game Before the Money podcast, where you'll find out which president won a national championship as a college football player. Future episodes of the Game Before the Money podcast will feature stories from Bill Butler, who played for the Green Bay Packers under Vince Lombardi and the Dallas Cowboys under Tom Landry. Also, Miami Dolphins and Texas A&M legend Richmond Webb will be on the podcast. Transcriptions of some episodes of the Game Before the Money podcast are available at thegamebeforethemoney.com. Transcriptions are powered by our transcription partner, Sonix. S-O-N-I-X. Visit sonix.ai to learn more about their automated transcription services. Yeah.